Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. We are excited that you have taken time out of your schedule this morning to join us for a high time in the Lord. We just want to come together to just clap our hands to give God some praise. And then we just want to just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this house on today. I don't know about you, but I'm excited, amen, to once again be in God's presence. And not only that, I'm excited because I want to hear what thus saith the Lord, and that word shall be delivered from none other than our Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. But before we begin that, let us grab a scripture out of the book of Psalms. I want to read for you the book of Psalms, chapter 131. Verses 1 through 3, amen. Go into the announcements real quick and the prayer, and then praise and worship, amen. And then after praise and worship, the next voice you will hear will be our pastor, Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, people of God, please turn with me, excuse me, to Psalms 131, amen, the book of Psalms 131, and the word of the Lord reads as such: Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Lord, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Reading from you, the book of Psalms, chapter 131, trusting in the Lord, verses 1 through 3. Amen, amen. Now, let us go into prayer, amen, the announcement, praise and worship, and then we're excited, we're ready to hear the word of the Lord from none other than our pastor. Amen. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Saturday at 9:30 a.m., and Sunday at 8:30 a.m., join us for our live service prayer to keep Redemptive Ministries. Amen. You can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that our website, amen, and we invite you here to our website to learn more about us, amen, the ministries we cover, amen, and even we're asking that you pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, amen. For those of you who want personal information concerning the church, if you want a prayer request, amen, someone to touch the view of you in prayer, or maybe, amen, you want myself or Apostle McQueen to come minister at any one of your engagements, enter on our website. Once again, that's www.cctkr.org. Go to the Contact Us page at the top. Follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you within as early as our earliest convenience. Amen. Amen. At our earliest convenience. Amen. We also have a media page, so bear with us. We're loading some things up now. You can see what we're doing. You can go there and see our services. Amen. And even go into our archives as well. Amen. Those are the announcements. And also, we want to let you know we have Facebook pages. Please like us on our Facebook page. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry or Women of the Faith Destiny, also known as WOPD. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life and let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Those are the announcements for this morning. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer and then let's get right into the praise and worship. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we bless you, we glorify you, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for a new day, new life, new mercy, new grace. God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus being poured out over us. God, we thank you for your protection, your power, your strength, the hope that you have given us, God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for saving each and every one of us. Now, God, as we, your people, prepare to worship you, we come into this sanctuary to give your name glory, honor, and the praise. God, as we lift up our hands, we ask right now in Jesus' name that you will purify our hearts and purify our hands before you, God, so that we can just begin to worship you out of a pure spirit. Even now, Father, we, your people, we humble ourselves at your feet. We bow at your grace. God, we just say that you have your way in this place, have your way in the lives of your people, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we ask that you would wash us and forgive us for all of our sins. Wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we ask that you would make us whole. Wash us in the blood. Cleanse us in the blood. Cleanse us in the word. Make us whole right now in Jesus' name. God, even now that we, your people, come as the praise and worship begins to go forth, we ask that you would saturate this atmosphere with your glory, saturate this atmosphere with your presence, saturate the atmosphere with your power. God, we ask in Jesus' name that your presence, your anointing, the Kabbalah, the weight of your glory will rest on each and every one that is here and rest on this building, even those that are listening in, that are joining us for praise and worship. God, that the glory of the Lord will begin to rest wherever they are, right in their atmosphere, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, even now that the word of God comes forth, God, let it come forth in power, let it come forth in deliverance, let it come forth and bring healing, let it come forth and bring peace. Father, you know what every need that your people have that are before you. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you will begin to move mightily on behalf. Give the glory out of each and every one of our lives. Lord, we thank you right now for the resources. God, we thank you for those that you are saving right now. We thank you for those that you are healing. We thank you for the great reports. We thank you, God, for the signs, wonders, and miracles that you continuously do. It is marvelous in our sight, God. We will say and have to give your name all praise, glory, and honor. We thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Bless your name today. Hallelujah. Well, how many of you want to bless the Lord today? Hallelujah. God, we give you glory in this place. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to bless the Lord today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We want you, God.
I'm sorry. Always good. Amen. All the time. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And we're just celebrating goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
This morning we want to take some time, amen, and really get into our text, if you will. We're at the end of our series on this time to build. Amen. And I want you to know that when we start talking about building, we're talking about the things in life that God has afforded us, amen, that will bring us into a higher level, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, quality of life. Come on, say it again, quality of life. Now, let me explain to you what quality of life simply is. It is your ability to enjoy the life that you have, amen. If you are not dealing with quality of life, then you're just existing. Amen. And God didn't call us to just exist.
Amen.
What he did was he actually called us into existence, but he gave us what, if you will, he gave us a responsibility to live. You see that? He called us into existence, but gave us a responsibility to live. Look at your neighbor and say, live.
Live.
Come on, say it again. Live.
Live.
And I think too often when we talk about living, we downplay it, if you will. We don't quite understand how living correlates to how we deal with certain things. Amen. As the Lord has spoken to us. But I want you to know that it's God's will for us to live. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think we have it where we need it. Amen. If you would test that to make sure it's good. Amen. Amen. And as we look at this, he gave us the responsibility to live and to live well. So then we need to do what we can to live. Amen? Good. All right. Now, let's go on a few scriptures. And I just want to remind you that we looked at the tabernacle, and then we looked at the temple. We touched on the second temple, the rebuilding of the second temple. Then we went into dealing with where God created for himself a vessel, amen, and that's where we see Jesus, amen. But now we're dealing with the part where he has commanded us, amen, and created us with purpose. Now I think too often when we look at this, we forget that we are created with purpose. Look at your neighbor and just tell them, I was created with a purpose.
I was created with a purpose.
Come on, say it again. I was created with a purpose.
I was created with a purpose.
Oh, yeah. You need to understand it. You need to know it. Amen. Because if you don't, then you will turn around and misuse what God gave you. Amen. 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 All right. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:6, amen. Got to get rid of this screen so that it looks for us, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:6, amen. Okay. I think so. What we need to do. Sounds a whole lot better. Good. And let's go down to 14th verse. Now let's go down to, yeah, let's go down to 14th verse and let's read it down. We're not going to stay here long, amen, as we want to get to a couple more scriptures today, amen. But let's look at it. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? Huh? You see that fellowship? for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with the lie. Amen. Or what part has a believer with the unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Look at your neighbor and say, we are the temple of the living God. And I think as soon as we can come to an understanding about that, then we'll stop questioning what God commands and demands, amen, as he calls his children into obedience, what he commands and demands from us, amen. Because too often we have people walking around saying, you know, I'm grown and I'm my own and I can do what I feel, when I feel like it, how I feel like it, amen, amen. And when we talk about that, when we speak about it, it comes into a place where the Lord says, listen, you are not your own.
Right.
You see that? You don't belong to you. You belong to me. Amen?
Right.
And if you belong to me, then that means that there's some rules that I have for those that are mine. Amen? Huh?
Uh-huh.
And that's what God is calling me. He's asking us to respond, if you will, to certain things,
yeah.
Asking us to be responsive, amen,
yeah.
To certain things. Now, one of the main reasons that we have, one of the main things that we have is we have a problem here, because most of the time when the Lord is speaking to us as his temple, we are unable to hear him, huh? We can't hear the Lord. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We find that it's beyond us.
All right.
We find that it is too much for us. Amen. And because it is beyond us and it's too much for us, we see that sometimes we miss it a little bit, if you will. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss this.
Don't miss it.
Come on, say it again. Don't miss this.
Don't miss it.
God is speaking to his vessel. God is speaking to his temple.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not aware of what God is saying, then you will miss the words that God is speaking to us. I want you to know that there are some things that he has said to us, and we have to understand that. In this here, God, as the resident, or he is the one who is in charge of this vessel here, he knows exactly what it is that we have need of. Amen, somebody.
All right.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, God knows exactly.
God knows exactly
what we need.
What we need.
Come on, say again. God knows exactly.
God knows exactly
what we need.
What we need.
That what we need part of that means that there are times. Amen. There we go. Amen. There are times when he'll call on you to do something that seems to be beyond you. But we're going to get into that a little bit later. God never asks you to do something that is beyond you. Amen? In our lives, we find that he then has written our lives. He has written the end of the story, if you will, who we are, how we are, what it is about us. He's already written all of those things. Amen? And because he's written all of those things, then what we find then is that God has already written the opening. He's written the body. And he's written the summary. And he's written the conclusion. Amen? Every sentence of your life was written by God. Amen, somebody. There's not a paragraph of your life that was written without his penmanship being upon it. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. Is that right?
Right.
Look at your neighbor and just tell him,
my life
and the story thereof
has
been written by Christ.
You
need to get happy about that. That means that, because I know that if they had been for, if some people could have did it, they would have wrote you off a couple of different ways to Sunday, amen? How many of y'all know that's true? If they had the opportunity, they would have wrote you out of some stuff, amen? You wouldn't have had the ability to do that for what you've done because you wouldn't have been part of the story to start with. Truth be told, some of you, if you had to fill in your hand, would have wrote some other people out.
And that's
true. Amen. Huh? So we have to understand that this plan that God has and the ability that he has for us, what he has done for us, is tied into, is set into his story. Y'all see that? History, his story. Amen? Huh? So when we look at this, if God is writing the paragraphs, the parts, he's in charge of the plot and the subplot. He has the text, the context of our life already set the way that he wants it. Then that means that everything that is included in every character, every protagonist, every antagonist is set up by God. Look at your neighbor and say, God did it all.
God did it all.
Oh, it's part of the story. It's part of the story. Amen. So when we look at this, then we have to understand that when he puts the period on the end of a sentence in the annals of your life, he has already designed the paragraph. He's already designed everything in your verb and your subject and your predicate. All of that was designed by God. You need to think about the fact that what I'm saying here is that God is meticulous in his writing. In every word that is written concerning you, God has already said yay and amen to it. So when the enemy comes in, God has already written it in his demise. Yet he got into the story, but he will not survive the paragraph. Look at your neighbor and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't care how he comes up and what he tries to do. And sometimes you have to understand that he uses people in that way to move you out of your mundane existence.
Yes.
He made sure that it's very difficult for you to stay in your common place so he can move you into a place of uncommon favor. Oh, my God. That means that when I'm trying to just stay here and do just a little bit on me, and God said, I call greatness into your life, God will send in those that will begin to pick at and poke at it and begin to prod you. You have to understand that you can't get to your greatness until you get out of your comfort zone. Oh, my God. What are you saying, Apostle? Okay, let me just show it to you in nature. The ego will sit up in that nest forever. Unless the ego, the parent ego, begins to take and throw out some of the stuffing in the nest. Then they begin to turn up those sticks that were turned down, begin to turn them up so it's uneasy for that ego. Things begin to get rough at home, if you will. So what happens is the ego is looking, trying to figure out, what are you doing? And why are you doing this to me? Why are you being so mean to me? Listen, it's not for your demise. It's for your making. Because if you don't learn how to get out this mess and catch the wind in your wings, then you'll never be able to soar. And listen, your ability to survive is tied to your ability to help for a living. You get hurt if you don't get into the element or the environment where your weaponry, your wings, your eyes, your talents can provide for you. Hello, somebody. You're going to catch this in a minute. You thought people were just being mean to you. No, people aren't being mean to you. People are trying to get you to come up to a different level because you are equipped for greatness. But it's no good in the nest. Huh? So essentially what happens is that eagle will look at that eaglet and begin to rest it. And so the eaglet gets to the edge of that nest and it falls out and begins to tumble. And that eagle will take off right after. And as it's going down, the eagle begins to show the wings. And the eagle is going like this, but will stretch them out. So the eagle is going down, looking, and as soon as the eagle opens up the wing catches it and it swoops up. Before it can hit the ground, if it doesn't catch the lesson the first time, that eagle will catch it and bring it right back up to the top of the nest and push it right back out. Sounds a little harsh. Ooh, let it be up here. Maybe flying is not a thing. Listen, I don't care what type of life you try to live. If God calls you for greatness, he's going to provoke greatness out of you. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to provoke greatness out of you.
God
is going to provoke greatness out of you.
Oh,
every time you think that it's going to light up, he caught me this time. The Lord called me, hallelujah. And you get right back up to the top. Here we go, throwing you right back out. You think, oh, my goodness, I thought when I got over here in Christianity, this dog was going to be the gravy. They told me where I'm coming, I'm going to be rich. This gravy was going to come to me for the rest of my life. Yes, he is. But guess what? Before you get to any of that stuff, he's going to test you. He's going to try you. You need to go back to Deuteronomy and see what he said about the children of Israel. He said, listen, I allowed you to be hungry, and then I fed you. I allowed you to be thirsty, and then I provided water for you from the rock. Huh? I don't want you thinking that nothing that you had and nothing that you did was because you were so great, mighty, and special. That they had not been for the Lord on your side speaking in your behalf, you would be messed up right now. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
Oh, come on, tell him again, thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
So then, here we are, as we begin to look at this and we begin to talk about it, we have to understand this. If God is going to do some things for us, he's going to do some things because he has written it in our plan. You have to understand, God is trying to get you to a place where you are at the temple of the living God, one who demonstrates the power of his majesty, his grace, his mercy. Did I say his compassion? Oh, we got to get back to loving people. He says, the weapon that has the temple of God with idols. For you are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, and I hit on this on Tuesday, come out from among them and be separate. Listen, one of the main things that we have to fight with today is Christians who are trying to assimilate the world instead of trying to get the world to assimilate the Christians. Everything has been welcomed into Christianity. So Christianity don't even look Christian no more. Huh? And if you say something against what everybody is accepting in, then you're fundamentalist, you're judgmental, you're everything, you're part of that antiquity, you're part of the problem. Listen, you're not part of the problem when we have to go back to the Bible. The Bible says, come out from among us. He's not talking about being separate. When Jesus came down to the earth, he walked among the people. He dealt with them, but he never became who he was dealing with. Brothers, sisters, you'll have to leave the earth and get away from sinners. Huh? You'll have to simply leave. It's not possible. There's not a rocket ship that can take you far enough to get away from sin. Because wherever you go, your sinful nature is with you. And if you left at the stake and you got up there by yourself and you had opportunity, sin would soon creep in. The Bible did talk about man being continually wicked and despises his evil ways. See, we think that if I could just get away from them. No, I'll tell you how to get away from them. Live the life. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are dark. When you get away from, when you begin to be the light, then those who want to live the dark life will get away from you because your light shows off how dark they are. And most of the things, many of the things, if not all of the things that they have to do or are trying to do is in the dark. They don't want you telling off the secret, the hidden thing, the unknown. They want to keep people in the dark so that they can do what they want to do. Amen?
Amen.
So he tells us then to come out from among them and be separate. And then look at this. Do not touch what is unclean. I'm not going to live a sinful life, but I'm going to touch all that unclean stuff because I know I can always wash my hands in the blood. Hallelujah. Listen, you can do that as much as you want. After all is said and done, you'll miss out on God. Why? Because the next line simply says, and I will receive you. So the devil's been running roughshod all over your life. But you can't do nothing with it because you are busy enjoying the unclean thing. So where God should be with you, we find out that he can't come near you because instead of you being sanctified, you're soiled. You see that? Instead of you being holy, you're full of holes. Some of you are just being holy. Not with the why. Mother used to call them porch. See, we got to understand that in our life, what God is calling us to is because he has a plan for us. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Now, why am I talking about this? Because what God wants to show off to the world is his temple. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you are the temple of God. God wants to show his temple off to the world. Y'all see this? Do you catch what I'm saying? God wants to show you off to the world. Look at what I can do with you. You see that? Because most of us know the shortcomings and the faults and the frailty and the deficiencies of our own life. And tell the truth about it, when we begin to deal with this, then we can see automatically that we ain't all that. I don't care how you try to lie to people and get people to think that you have arrived and when you showed up, brother, sister, it was something special. The reality is when you get by yourself and look in the mirror, you recognize that you ain't all that. That's why you get behind those doors, you begin to pull stuff in and tighten stuff up and begin to try to, you know, highlight these and but downplay that and you, because you ain't all that. Amen? Pick up your neighbor and just say, tell the truth. Oh, come on, tell the truth. I know some of y'all don't want to say it because you've been lying to yourself so long you believe the lie. But the reality is your feet stand. You got to lean on yourself. If you don't wash and bathe yourself, everybody will know how unpretty you really can be. Amen? See, just because you don't get your toes done, those people be over there talking, they don't be talking to each other about what was on the Young and the Restless. They be talking about you.
Right.
So when you walk out of there, you know, you feel like they were talking about you, but you still come back and pay the money, right? Because if they're talking about you, you don't understand it. But truth be told, you should be talking about yourself. Well, one of the worst things to ever be is self-deceived. Hello, somebody. I know that as a musician, I have accomplished a lot. But there are people that I look at that I don't have accomplished more. It doesn't make me less of who I am. It just makes me realize that there are others who have gone further than I have. Amen. So I don't have a chip on my shoulder about where I come. I know I still got a ways to go. Amen. And when some of you can understand that and see that in yourself, you'll stop walking around with a chip on your shoulder trying to get people to see you as one who has arrived. You look at your brother and sister and say, you ain't arrived yet.
You ain't arrived yet.
God's trying to show you off, but before he can show you off, he got to get you out of the picture. Amen. Oh, I know this is good. This is good. Yes, amen. I know it is. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, too. Amen. Huh? Look, let's go here. Let's go here. 2 Corinthians 3. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3. Let's go to that first verse there. Read it from the New King James Version. It says, do we again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some other epistles of commendations to you or letters of commendation from you? Second verse here. It says, you are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So then, you are living epistle, read it in. I want that to sink in. Because too often when God is calling us into sanctification and holiness, we're trying to tell everybody we ain't hurt nobody, and it don't matter, and I'm grown. Amen? But you are a living epistle written in. Is that what that word says? Doesn't it say that? Huh? Written in the heart. How do we know when you start to bear because we feel the ink? Amen? Something starts tugging on the heart. What's tugging on the heart is what has been written there. You begin to feel the pages stretching. Amen? You begin to check to see what's going on. The Holy Spirit begins to tell us how the sentences are coming unraveled. Amen? New chapter being written, but that chapter being written isn't the right chapter. So we have to go and correct the writing. Right now, I'm doing some studies, amen, and as I'm doing the studies, I write something that's a draft. The teacher then comes back and begins to look at it and begins to write red all over the paper where she wants me to change certain things or where I may not have been grammatically correct or I may have done something one way or the other that needs to be changed or addressed, amen? And so it is with us as we begin to write and live the life. Instead of using the proper ink, sometimes the Holy Spirit begins to write red all over it. You would have been upset because you thought you was doing something that was going to hurt somebody. But if you are a living epistle, a Christ minister to us, minister by us, then when we are sitting here dealing with you with something you do gets all of the script that God has written for you, then we have to come along with the pen of correction, amen, and begin to help you to rewrite that area of your life because God is holding us accountable for the story. Remember, go back to what I said. This is his story. Lived out by us. Do I have to remind you that the life that you live now is Christ? Huh? Colossians, he says, I died. You see that? And Christ now lives in me. The life that I live is Christ's life. The life that I live has died. I died to that. Some of you are still too alive to what you were. So you can't become
who you should be alive in. You can't do it because whenever the flesh is challenged by the spirit, the Bible lets us know that they are enmity against each other. They fight back and forth. And you can't do with one what you would do because there's a constant battle. God is calling you into a higher level, into a deeper depth. He calls you into more relation with them. But your flesh is constantly trying to tell you, you don't have to do all that. They ask it too much of you. Now, remember how it used to be back in the day? All we had to do was, and all you have to do is listen to that flesh just a little bit too much. Flesh will talk you out of your kingdom status. Flesh will talk you out of godly favor. Flesh will talk you out of your sanctified life. You find yourself making excuses for bad behavior. Huh? The Lord's still working on you. He's been working on you. He keeps working on you. But if he's working on the same thing for this number of years, you stop letting the Holy Spirit work on you a long time ago. Huh? This written epistle, read it in, means that there's going to be some correction in the writing. But don't be upset about it. God is the author, the finisher of our faith. Amen?
Amen.
So we are being healed. We are being slowly constructed. Remember that build means to slowly or to over time bring together materials. Over the time of your life, you're being tested and tried. Your faith is being tested. Amen. But I got a question for you. What will history say about your faith in God? What will history say about your faith in God? We look at men and women who have gone on into glory, the matriarchs, the patriarchs of the faith, amen? And we talk about how they have stood the test of time. You hear me talk about pastors, Gloria Dean Coleman, amen, and how she left from Toledo, Ohio in a 1969-1972 station wagon, amen, with those wheel pops on them, you know, not big on pops, and we just don't know when, amen. And she would drive from Toledo to Harlem, New York for convocation with luggage and with a carload of people on one tank of gas. Now, I know some of y'all are sitting there saying it can't be done, but I'm telling you that she wasn't driving at 40 miles per hour. I'm telling you that she wasn't driving at 60 miles per hour. She was driving, trying to make 100, 99.5, what would do? Huh? Oh, she was getting it. I remember riding up in the car, and she came and passed movement. And when she passed it, she honked the horn, let us know, hey, I'm on the way to glory, hallelujah. And we were going around those mountains. Lord Jesus, those of you who know those mountains that had all these safety features that they now have, right, know that she was moving and there was a lot of faith involved in that. Amen? So the miracle that we talk about is the tires were bald. They were bald. They weren't just a little tread on. They were bald. Amen? Huh? And she's flying around a mountain. I remember, I do believe it was Sister Connelly. She's gone on to be with the Lord too now. She went up there, and she was in there with some of the other saints. And they testified that all they did was get in the car and start talking about Jesus and having church. And for the amount of the time that it took to get from Toledo to Harlem, New York, to headquarters, Soul Saving Station for every nation, all that time they was in the car worshiping and praising God and just in deep hallelujah. They were just gone. When they came through, they was pulling around the corner, 126th Street, right off of Martin Luther King right there, I do believe it is, by the Apollo. We were one block over, one street over, one block up from where the Apollo was. Amen. That's where we went every year for convocation. Amen. And they would be sitting up in there praising God. Then when they pulled in, they got everything together, then the car would start to... from not having any gas since they filled up in Toledo. Amen? Look at your neighbor and tell them, you have to understand that God works with faith. Miracle signs and wonders occur when your faith is involved. She knew that they didn't have any money. I know they didn't have any money because when she got the car, she said, brother, can y'all help us go get some gas? And the brother knew. When they saw her, they just started reaching. They knew she was coming. They started reaching. God bless you. Just call back. How you doing? How y'all get up here? We feel nothing. You know, we've been praying and thanking God ever since. We get out. They just started sputtering when we got around the corner. I need to put some gas in it. We're going over here. We're going to put some gas in it. Put some gas in the car. Or give us some money for gas. We can't do that nowadays. We got to have the letter. We got to have a 4 or 5 star hotel. We got to have a room for our entourage as well as, you see what I'm saying? All of that before you move. But we're talking about those who had faith. Amen?
Amen.
All these men and women of faith, people will walk in the back door of the church, demon-possessed, and come in. And as soon as they came in, instead of everybody running, talking about where's the armor bearers, they began to bind the demons. People will come in, meaning to do wrong and be stuck in place. You know, came in to rob the church and couldn't do nothing to stop this. And please tell these angels, whatever this is, to let me go. I'm sorry. Let me go. I'm sorry. Nowadays, you got to have MMA training and firearm background and everything else so you can serve in church. The devil is a lie. We didn't need all of that back in the day because we have faith in God. Huh? We're sitting up there talking about who got what kind of gun. People trying to pull out Desert Eagles to prove I'm not the back-to-back. Brothers and sisters, you got all that, put that up. Jesus wouldn't let Peter and the guard cut off the servant's ear. Why do you think you're going to run out here and start blasting out rounds in the name of the Lord? This foolishness got to stop. You wouldn't have to have all that if you really had an anointing on your life. I'm talking about a real anointing. Oh, my goodness, yeah, I know y'all going to be writing me and talking about me. I don't care. Because the proof is in the pudding. And back in the day, we had a love team. We didn't have all of that, and we didn't need it. For those of you who live a life today, you don't need it today. But because you aren't really operating in the anointing, you learn the lingo, you learn all the rest of it. You're writing your story. But I'm talking about his story. His story, his protection. His story, his validation. Well, I belong to this association. I'm part of this, the Diocese of the Exalted Bishops of the... Okay, wonderful. That's all good. That just means that all of y'all came together and you had enough paperwork for you to pass what their scrutiny was. That looks good. Okay, I had my first youth pastor. What's the prophetess? My first youth pastor had his master's. In divinity and a couple of other things, then through the bachelor's and associate's level of ministerial school and couldn't put 3 scriptures together. I know because he got up to preach and the young people, after he got done, looked at me and said, I listened to him, then I had to get up and get behind him and clean up all the mess that his 3 degrees couldn't do. Because if you have to sell to school, you got the paperwork, and you can validate who you are based on your credentials up here. But after all is said and done, that's why I don't look at a lot of that stuff. Because man can shake his head, but if God nodded no, it's a no. Amen? Huh? Many more. Few were chosen. Huh? God sits in a lot wait. Huh? And if you're one of those who win, you may be positioned properly, but you don't have the grace to do this. You can't. You don't have it. It's not there. You lay hands on yourself. You need that right there. So we're epistles. We're the men. We're part of his story. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go with me, if you will. We're going to Hebrews. You know what? We might get there eventually, amen. Let's instead go to Psalm 139. And too often when we start talking about all of these things, the first problem that we have is that people who hear us speak of these things already think within themselves, if you will, that there's no way for us to look at them and to look at the work and to accept all of it. But God knows everything there is to know about you. Amen?
That is correct.
God knows everything about you. I do mean everything. Amen? So what it says here, and really what I want to look at is one verse, but I'm going to jump around a little bit here. It says, "O Lord, you have searched and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." Look at your neighbor and tell them, God knows you.
God knows you.
Now, why is this important? Because when we begin to talk about the work that God calls us to do and the things that he calls us to, a lot of times we try to bargain with God based on what we think we know about ourselves. Notice I said think we know about ourselves, amen? Because God knows everything about you. And there's things that you have yet to discover about the story that he's written concerning you. Amen? Okay. All right. Have you ever gotten to a place where you were dealing with something and you felt as if it was beyond you until after you passed it? Y'all see what I'm saying? There are certain things in your life that you feel is beyond your ability until you look back 2020 hindsight. You see? And thought that you overcame it and now you have it as an experience. But before you went into it, God already knew that you were going to be at that point. reflecting over your life and seeing where you came from. The event of your life that you thought was too great for you, God has already determined that you can go through it and come through it. You're going to overcome it. Amen. Now, why would God do that? Why would God do that? Why would God send me into dark places? Because you're light. What God is doing is he's trying to turn off light in areas of darkness. In order to get light into dark, light has to be sent to the darkness. Hello? Now, this is the problem here, and stay with me now. When you get to the darkness, you can't turn off the light. I said something before. We're supposed to be assimilating the world into Christianity. A lot of times we find out that the world, amen, is assimilating Christians to the world. Hello? So the problem then becomes that instead of looking like him, we begin to look like the world. We lose our identity in the kingdom. Amen? Assimilating them. And then we go back and say, Lord, I had a problem. I didn't know. And I thought that and the Lord said, I knew what you were going to do, which is why I tested you in this area. You thought this just came upon you. This was a test. Look at your neighbor and say, this was part of the test. Come on, tell me again, this is part of the test. In order for God to get you to know you like he knows you, he has to make sure that you are tested out. Quality control has to be taken, has to take place in your life. You need to know what he knows about you. Y'all heard me say this before. Peter walking on the water when Jesus said, come, he knew exactly where he was going to fail. So when he said, Lord, save me, he was already right there to reach down and lift him up. Y'all see that? Your failures of your life when you're going through testing is like how quality control. Next time you go through this process to come back to this test, you must shore up certain areas of this so that you can pass the test next time. Amen? Say that loud. Say, help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
Come on, say that. Help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
You know, you search me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rise and up. You know my highs and my lows. You understand my thoughts. And that's why when you are having thoughts and you're trying to say, I didn't say that, Jesus knew their thoughts, amen? Before they could say something, Jesus already knew where their mind was, amen? Sometimes you're dealing with myself, you're dealing with prophets, and we start talking about your thoughts. And in your mind, you say, I ain't never say that. But yeah, you did. You thought it. It was in your thoughts. And in your thoughts, we heard your thoughts. Amen? So when we're dealing with it, we're not dealing with what came through your lips. We're dealing with what's going over in your mind. Amen? And if God is beginning to deal with you and start trying to deal with you, he's trying to deal with your insecurities. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. He's trying to deal with the insecurities in your life because a lot of times you are thinking, overthinking, reacting, responding to fear, false evidence appearing real. And because the devil moves with fear, your faith has been compromised. So instead of validating your fear, instead of strengthening your insecurity, the Lord comes back at you with strengthening your faith. My faith would be stronger if I just, no, faith is not what you know. If you know it, what you have, you don't have to have faith in. Amen? You have to have faith in what you don't see and what you don't know. What you don't have tangible, you don't have a connection physically to it. You got to have faith for that thing that eventually is going to come into your being. It's going to come into your, you're going to acquire it. You're going to get it. It's going to happen. don't have to have faith for it. It's already there. So a lot of times you're asking questions and testing around trying to see because you're trying to strengthen your insecurity, and what comes back at you is have faith in God. He knows you. He said, you comprehend my past and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God knows everything about you. Now just tell him this. So just be real. Oh, come on, say it again. So just be real. Come on. So just be real. Oh, my God. Let me just drop down. Go down to that 14th verse. It says the 14th verse.
14th verse. Amen.
It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Huh. So we've been talking about it's time to build, right?
Uh-huh.
Huh? We've been talking about it, and we went to the physical tabernacle, and then to the temple, and then to the second temple, and then we went to, I will prepare for myself a temple. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, walking amongst us, God amongst us. And now we're dealing with us being built as the temple of God. And I want you to know that just like he meticulously took time and measured out and gave everything that he wanted for his tabernacle, serving in his temple, and making in his in the womb of Mary, Jesus, so he did for you. Why? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at your neighbor and say, I am the temple of the living God. I'm not thrown together. Come on, say it. I'm not thrown together.
I'm not
piecemeal
together.
I'm not left over junk. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will honor God in his temple. Give God a praise right here.
Hallelujah. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well.
I've told you already in Daniel 11, chapter 32nd verse, they that know their God will do great exploits, great works.
So why is it important for you to understand that you are made, you're built? Because Satan, I want you to understand this. The process he took in creating and the plans he set for the temple, the tabernacle, he's already set for you. Your life, as you're living it now, if you are saved, everything that you go through, according to Romans, the 8th chapter, 28th verse, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. Everything that happens with you when you are saved is for your development and your making. You weren't just fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb of your parent or your mother. You're fearfully and wonderfully made as a child of God, the vessel that God called you to be. He fearfully and wonderfully made you into that. That's why when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to restructure things in your life. Huh? He begins to show you that some of that stuff that you thought was important is not important. He gets to throw out stuff. get rid of stuff. Things you thought you couldn't live without, he shows you that you're better without. Huh? That's what God does. That's how he does it. As I close, to bring this to close for today, just want to share with you, I was watching one of these channels and I came across this Tiny House Nation. People coming from these wonderful homes trying to live in these little 200-300 square foot homes. And what the guy does is he goes through and he begins to tell them, you need to whittle this down to what can actually fit in the house. And throughout the show, it shows them going through it. Okay, well, now you got a house. It's so small, but let's see if we can get that right there into something about that big. He said, now, each one of you can take one thing that you can't live without. And everybody's picking up something and trying to fit it in there. He said, yeah, think about what you're about to do. You're going from 2,000 square foot into a 200 square foot. You got to get rid of 10 times what you got. And the same thing with us. We came from the world with all that stuff, but straight and narrow is the way. And we got to get rid of all of that stuff. And what they do is they go back and look and they find that these people are living better than they did with more than they did with all of that. The Lord knows what we have need of. Let's trust in God, amen? Someone give God a praise. Amen. Come on, maybe you don't know the Lord in the pardon of your sins. Those of you who are watching and listening to us, I'm just going to appeal to you right now that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the best decision that you ever made. I tell you, you never know how good life is until you get rid of everything the devil tried to burden you down with. Amen? We need to take off all that stuff and put on Christ. As you do so, you'll find out that things that are there are still there, but your ability to handle and deal with them becomes greater when you have the greater one on the inside. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, simply pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, as they pray that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing ministry where they can grow and be developed and go on to do the work that you called them to do. Now, I speak to those who are sick and shut in. I speak to those who are healing in their body that, Lord, you will do the work. Miracles, signs, and wonders manifest now in the name of Jesus, and thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you will do in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about us and become a vision partner with this ministry. Your financial gifts will help us to keep spreading the gospel around the world. We're growing, and we're about to see some things that are going to change where the place where God has given us, amen. But as they do, know that this is God's will for us to do the work so we live the kingdom lifestyle because it is a commandment from God to do so, amen. I'm a citizen of the Lord Jesus, the kingdom of God, and part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. With that being said, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. We look forward to ministering with you tomorrow morning at 8:30. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.